I know it's fantasy football season. I know it's the playoffs and everybody's excited, but truth be told, this was the podcast I was most excited for this week. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Today. Oh my gosh, so much stuff going on, and already a great call by Scott White, because I said, hey, let's do the podcast Tuesday, and Scott said, no, I don't want to. I'm sick. I can't be bothered.
Am I Jiminy Cricket? I don't know. What was that voice?
And Thursday.
I sit right next to Scott, so I could vouch that was exactly how he sounded.
Thank you. I've been working on my Scott. People say we sound alike anyway, Scott, so just embrace it.
Okay. All right.
But you were right, because a lot has happened since Tuesday, and I'm sure Jason Hayward will sign while we're on the podcast. All right, here's the first question for you guys. Will there be like a semi-major to major trade or signing before we get off the air? I would guess that's going to be about 50 minutes to an hour from now.
No.
It will be like an hour afterwards.
Okay, yeah, right, exactly.
Some of the folks are still traveling home, right? I mean,
yeah.
I guess they just got there.
We got bad luck with David Price last week. Like, not long after we finished the show, he got signed. But hey, we get to talk about him today. Anyway, hey, let's get right to it, guys. Who's your biggest fantasy winner so far throughout this past week?
Well, I actually put this to, I'm going to sidestep this for a second, because I put this to a Twitter poll.
Ooh.
And there's still 22 hours left. By the time you're listening to this, there's probably going to be, what, about 20 hours left. So I'm going to possibly skew the future results. But the biggest winner here, and he's definitely a contender, is Jeff Samardzija.
But wait, who are the options on the Twitter poll? Because you can only put four people on there, right?
I haven't really tested that envelope, the edge of that envelope. I did put four in the poll. Samardzija, Shelby Miller, Ben Zobrist, Brett Laurie.
Samardzija, Shelby Miller, Zobrist, Laurie. Okay.
So, but I know Scott wanted to talk about somebody who's not even on that
list. I don't like this Twitter poll. It's too limited. It's just too limited, Al.
Well, I can only think of one other person you could reasonably put there, and that's David Hernandez.
Well, I think there are more options than that. But yeah, David Hernandez would be my choice if you could make room for him. And it's probably one of the, you know, least notable moves that was actually made over the course of the last few days. But in conjunction with the Ken Giles trade, the Phillies sending Giles to the Astros, David Hernandez, the guy they just signed, stands to inherit the closer role. So you got a player who had zero fantasy value, even in NL-only leagues, suddenly becoming somebody who may go off the board in the middle to late rounds of mixed leagues just because of that role change. And David Hernandez wasn't great last year, 4.28 ERA, high whip, but about a strikeout per. And it was his first year back from Tommy John surgery. He actually hadn't even pitched the whole year before his elbow started having trouble. He looked like a guy who could potentially be a closer. He had a 98 strikeout season in relief in 2012. So he could be interesting. Obviously, it's a bad team, so he's going to rank near the bottom of the closers just for that. But he is shaping up to be a closer now.
Yeah, so I think it's hard to top that.
No, it might be hard to top that, but I disagree with you that there weren't more candidates. I'll just throw some names out. Wade Miley. What about Ryan Madsen? Does he have potential to be a closer now in Oakland?
I guess some, but I would expect Doolittle to be the closer there.
And they just signed John Axford for $10 million over 2 years too, right? So
yeah,
it's going to be a battle.
So I think Hernandez and the four guys I mentioned are the top winners. And like I think I said, Samardzija is running away with it in the poll so far. And he goes from one of the toughest parks to pitch in to one of the best parks to pitch in. But I'm just not sure I trust him. And the guy who actually has the fewest votes right now would get my vote, and that's Brett Laurie, because he's somebody who pretty consistently has gone about as well as his park factor goes. And so he went from Toronto to Oakland. That really hurt his value. And now he's going to the White Sox, where he's going to hit in a park that's almost as amenable to power hitting as Rogers Center.
Here's why I couldn't vote for Laurie. he wasn't very good with Toronto.
Yeah.
He was a big disappointment in fantasy every year, even when he was there. So I'm not sure why that's going to change in Oakland.
I felt like there were times that he kind of teased us with being able to get to that level in that first half season. And last year he set a career high for games played because health's always been an issue. So maybe it's kind of a belated breakout for Laurie where he actually stays healthy and hits 25 home runs.
You want some more examples of guys who didn't crack Al's poll?
Yeah, sure.
I got at least two. And they both are also related to that Ken Giles trade. Ken Giles himself, presuming he's the closer for Houston, which, as you pointed out to me earlier today, Al, they haven't said for sure he will be.
Mm-hmm.
But he's clearly the best reliever there, and we know he can close from his time with the Phillies. He could be top 10 as Houston's closer, obviously going from a non-contender to a contender improves his value. And then Vincent Velasquez, probably the most notable name going back to the Phillies in that deal, who we saw pitch, make some starts and some relief appearances for the Astros down the stretch last year. Really good strikeout pitcher. Sparp would be the most attractive Sparp, I think, easily if he were to enter the season with a rotation spot. So that's going to be something to watch in spring training. He obviously has a much better chance of doing that with the Phillies than he did with the Astros.
All right. I got fantasy losers. I actually think this one, underrated easy. Biggest fantasy loser. I'll let you guys go first, then I'll give you the right answer. Al, who's your biggest fantasy loser?
All right, well, I'm going to do a Twitter poll on this one, too, and the options are Carson Smith, Carson Smith, Carson Smith, and Carson Smith.
Okay, listen, I'm still in football mode, I admit. Who's closing for the Red Sox right now?
Craig Kimbrell.
Craig Kimbrell, okay, right, duh. I apologize, that was really stupid.
That's, you know, all kinds of player movement out there.
Yeah, so I lost track of that one, because I was like, oh, Carson Smith, maybe he's got a chance to be there. Oh, wait, no, Craig Kimbrell, good call. All right, so yeah, Carson Smith, big loser.
Could be the sixth inning guy because they've got Tozawa and Uehara. Uehara's going to pitch the eighth.
Yeah, yeah. But Kimbrell, because if it were just Uehara, I'd be like, well, he's going to get hurt and Smith is really good. But no, he won't overtake Craig Kimbrell.
No.
So, all right, he's your biggest loser. I'm not going to dispute that one, Al.
Yeah, that was my number one loser, too, which, you know, since you made it every choice in the poll. And I did come up with a backup choice, though, just in case. And my backup choice is Dilson Herrera, who was going to be one of the most prominent names in my sleeper column this year, poised to take over at second base for the Mets with Daniel Murphy leaving. But then the Mets went and traded for Neil Walker. So that's not going to happen now. And not only that, but then they signed Esdrubal Cabrera. So now Wilmer Flores is without a place to play as well. And I would assume if either Cabrera or Walker went down, Flores would be the one to step in while Dilson Herrera would continue to toil in the minors. So I do think Dilson Herrera as a middle infielder with both the ability to hit for average and power is a good long-term keeper, but doesn't look like this year is going to be his year.
You ready for the biggest fantasy loser?
Who?
Steven Matz. We had a great article on CBSSports.com about this new curse. This is the Madden curse of Major League Baseball. Steven Matz is going to dress up as Santa Claus at the Mets holiday party. It is a horrible, horrible omen for him. I think 7 of the last 10 Mets Santa Clauses at the holiday party or something like that. Go read the story. Have had a bad year.
Oh, well, that means 3 out of 10 have had a good year.
Daniel Murphy twice, and I think David Wright once. But it's scary stuff. It's bad news for Steven Matz. But actually, a real fantasy loser, guys, I think Ender Inciarte is a loser. Going to a worse park, and he had big-time, drastic lefty-righty splits, but he also had some interesting home-road splits. And going to like the worst lineup in baseball last year from one of the best lineups in the NL. So the runs scored could go down. Is there anything that NCRT does like great, you know? So I feel like he's not a great player. He just hit at the top of the order, scored a lot of runs, and I think that's going to be a problem for him in Atlanta.
Yeah, he's not great. I mean, the closest thing probably that he has greatness in is making contact, very good contact rate. But so that's very useful in points leagues. But then again, the outfield depth is such that he doesn't have that much value there. But the thing is, he may very well be flipped. Okay. So I think it's a little early to make that call on in CRT.
And if he's not flipped, he's playing every single day in Atlanta where he wasn't with the Diamondbacks. So
yeah, that would help. That could lower his batting average, though, if he doesn't sit against lefties because he can't hit them.
Well, I guess he was playing pretty close to every day with the Diamondbacks. He only got 132 games, but I think he missed time with injury in there. So yeah, his value does go down. I don't think it's as much as some of the other players we mentioned, but that's definitely a worse lineup.
All right, fellas. How about biggest MLB winner? Baseball, real team, real baseball, biggest winner, Al.
Oh, team winner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A little unprepared here because I thought we were going to go with player-wise.
Oh, but, I got a team for you.
Well,
okay. I got a team
let
for
me stall.
You,
go ahead.
Adam and Al.
Oh, actually, this is pretty obvious. Yeah.
The team is the Atlanta Braves, who got Mr. Ender Inciarte and his 5.3 WAR last year. More than one win better than any player they had, by the way. As a throw-in in their deal for Shelby Miller, which also netted them Aaron Blair and the number one overall pick in the draft this year, Dansby Swanson.
Am I crazy? So, like, Shelby Miller is not David Price or Clayton Kershaw, is he? This was insane.
You're not crazy, Adam.
This was insane.
Dave Stewart is. That seems to be the consensus. I think Jeff Passan of Yahoo.
You say Passan, I'll say Passan.
Passan? Sorry.
Yeah.
I saw him tweet it first, so I don't want to steal it from him, but he said that looked like the kind of package he'd expect the Marlins to get back for Jose Fernandez, not Shelby Miller. And I mean, honestly, when I first saw it, I just saw Ender Inciarte and Aaron Blair for Shelby Miller, and I was thinking, oh, that's not a bad deal. And then, like, who trades the number one overall pick in the draft these days?
No, crazy. Just crazy.
That's a franchise-making player. And you know, from all the reports you see about Dansby Swanson and his potential, I mean, he's a college player, so close to major league ready already. And just as can't miss as prospects get because of the makeup and the polish and everything else. Somebody who, you know, we're going to be talking about. I don't know if he's going to be like first or second round material in fantasy because I'm not sure he has quite enough power for that, but good power for a shortstop and just going to be a very good all around hitter. So
yeah. He's a good looking guy. He wears makeup and polish, according to
Does Scott. He really?
Yeah.
Watch the College World Series. I have to admit, I was impressed by the hair.
The makeup and the polish. That's what we like about him.
Yes, sir.
All right. So the Braves are Scott's pick. Al, have you had enough time to think about a real baseball winner here?
Well, I think, you know, the Braves are kind of the obvious one.
I don't know. The Red Sox looking pretty good right now.
Yeah, that's a good call too. So you guys are just, you know, taking the good teams. But that looked like that was going to be the steal of meetings with the Carson Smith deal. Wade Miley going to the Mariners and Marinus Elias going the other way, and you know, a swap of left-handers that, you know, I don't think there's that much separation between. I think the thing that Miley brings is an ability to deliver a lot of innings and it's got a track record. But, you know, I don't know that Elias, if he starts, would necessarily be that much worse. You need maybe a power arm in the bullpen instead. So yeah, Red Sox, made out quite well there.
Okay. Well, how about an MLB team loser? You know, I want to say Arizona, but they also got Zach Greinke, so, and they didn't give up anything for him.
Well, and they also got Shelby Miller, who's, you know, we agreed he's overrated, but he's still good. And they went from being on the fringe of contention to a lot of people would say the AL West favorites. So, I do think they're losers when you factor in the long-term ramifications of everything, but the team I'm going to pick here is one of the teams that the Diamondbacks may have overtaken, the Los Angeles Dodgers, who, you know, not only didn't get Greinke and didn't get Miller, But
Chapman?
Right, the Chapman deal.
But they got Iwakuma.
That was supposed to be their big get of the meetings, and you know, really having that crazy left-handed, right-handed finish with Kenley Jansen there. But looks like the Aroldis Chapman deal is completely dead now because of the domestic issue he had with his girlfriend a couple months ago, and not really. No one really knowing how the new MLB policy regarding domestic violence is, how that's really going to impact his status for the new season. So nobody's going to give the Reds the kind of haul they want for Chapman. The Dodgers aren't. And so he's going to stay put. I think it's good for fantasy because Kenley Jansen, I think Al and I both have him ranked as the number one reliever going into next year. And it seemed like Chapman would be more likely to close than him in LA. So now both of those elite closers get to remain closers. And I don't think anyone else the Dodgers could acquire. I know Andrew Miller's name has come up.
Yeah.
But Andrew Miller, at least from what I've heard, it's not like he's completely, he's fine closing or setting up. It doesn't really matter to him. And then anyone else the Dodgers could acquire just clearly wouldn't be at the same level as Jansen. So I think Jansen's role is safe now.
Is Gabe Spier a significant piece that the Diamondbacks got back? He is part of the Shelby Miller deal as well.
That's who the Braves got for Cameron Maben, so no.
Okay. All right, so I separated everything into huge news, big news, still pretty big news, medium-sized news, and small news. And you know what? There's another. Al, poo-poo on your poll. There's another guy who could be a big winner. That was a weird.
Right.
That was a really weird thing to say. I apologize.
It was alliterative.
Your Twitter poll, that is. I'm dissing it. Jed Jerko. How about Jed? Everybody at home can just laugh at that.
Jed,
it's fine.
So wait, Jed Jerko is a winner?
You tell me. I mean, getting out of San Diego, is that a good thing?
No, not when you go to a team that's full in the outfield.
Or infield.
Or infield is what
so
I
say. So he's just a utility guy now?
Place where
they're full everywhere.
They're just full everywhere. And Jed Jerko is not going to break through that.
Poo-poo on your poll. Wow.
Yeah.
That was just ill-conceived. All right, so let's go to the huge news, other than Steven Matz playing Santa Claus. Aroldis Chapman, if he is suspended for 46 games or more, next season, he will lose a year of service time and won't be a free agent until after the 2017 season. Little note there for you. Boston signed David Price. Value up, down, or the same on a 7-year, $217 million deal?
Virtually the same. I mean, if you got to go in a direction, maybe a slight downgrade because I don't think there's anywhere he can go where he's going to get the run support that the Blue Jays gave him, but he can pitch anywhere.
Okay, Zach Greinke to the Diamondbacks, 6 years, $206.5 million. Value up, down, or the same for Zach Greinke?
I mean, it's a worse park, and
actually,
maybe a worse lineup.
I don't know that it is.
Well, not really a worse lineup. It's close, the park, right?
Yeah.
Dodger Stadium isn't the pitcher's park most people perceive it to be.
That's pretty fair.
I think it's pretty much the same. I mean, if I had to choose one, I would say down, but I didn't drop him at all in my rankings.
Now,
I think he's a much bigger regression candidate than...
Yeah, just on his own merits. Yeah.
Now, Al, you said Shelby Miller was a winner. I'm guessing that's because he went like, what, 3-18 last year? No, he went 6-17, not quite that
right.
bad.
Right.
But,
might as well have been 3-18.
1-15 in his last 4 months, last 23 starts. But this is a downgrade in ballpark and venue for him, isn't it, for Miller?
That is nothing compared to the boost that he's going to get run support. So
he could, his ERA could rise a run, and he won't go 6-17 for this Diamondbacks team.
Now, the thing with Miller is, you know, just how good do you think he is? Because he had a 3.77 ERA in those last 4 months, and in the first 2 months, he had a 1.48 ERA. He's been inconsistent in his brief career. So, you know, what do you think about Miller as a pitcher? Not a big strikeout guy either.
Well, yeah, and I discovered something too. I he's going to be on my bust list, and I'm keeping him there even after this because part of the rationale for having him on the bust list was, you know, expecting he was going to still be with the Braves. But even so, not that great against lefties last year. And yet, for some reason, he had the platoon advantage a large percentage of the time, like compared to the average right-handed starter. So I got to think that that's something that would probably change next year. So unless he figures out a way to fare better against lefties, I just think for that reason alone, his stats other than wins are going to regress.
Yeah, I think the ERA is going to rise too. I mean, it was just barely above 3 last year. So it was a really good ERA, but like you pointed out, Adam, front loaded because, for, you know, final 2/3 of the season, it was not a very good ERA. And really the supporting stats, they support the higher ERA, not the lower one. There's always a chance he could break through. I mean, he's what, just 25 now. He shows these glimpses. You know, I think 9 of his 33 starts last year, he had more than a strikeout per inning, but still finished with a bad strikeout rate overall, which is kind of weird. And you know, everybody loves the stuff and all that. I just feel like we shouldn't really evaluate him so differently from where we were going into last season, because that's basically the pitcher he was the final 2/3, a guy with efficiency issues and control issues who didn't really have the strikeout rate to make up for it.
So that's the big news, or the huge news rather. Let's go to the big news. And yeah, Houston gets Ken Giles, I guess not officially the closer there in Houston.
Vince, I sure hope he is though. That would be too forward thinking, I feel like, to make him anything but the closer.
Thinking so far ahead that they're behind.
You said top 10. I mean, is it realistic to put him top 5 if he's the closer? Because this guy has been amazing.
Well, then he'd have to break through the Wade Davis, Aroldis Chapman wall, and I just don't see that happening. I could see going as high as 6. I think from the time he took over as the Phillies closer to the end of last year, his numbers were basically Kimbrel-like. So I could see someone arguing top 6, but I wouldn't go that far just yet.
Okay, David Hernandez to the Phillies, 1 year, $3.9 million. Jeff Samardzija. All right, so let's talk about that because people think Jeff Samardzija is a big winner. 5 years, $90 million, going to San Francisco. And this guy, he'll be 31 years old in January. Samardzija has been a starter for 4 seasons, and his ERA has been 381, 434, 299, and 496. So how much will the ballpark help Jeff Samardzija?
I think it's going to help. I mean, the thing is, he needs a lot of help because he led the majors in hits and runs allowed last year. Those are obviously leaderboards you don't want to be, you know, anywhere close to. So he needs a lot of help, but his home splits at US Cellular were particularly nasty. So, you know, I think right there, even if he just had across the board numbers like he had on the road last year, you'd see a big improvement, but he really does need to cut down on the home runs and get back to getting strikeouts. And it's not clear why he wasn't more dominant last season.
Yeah, I'm gonna voice my theory on him one more time here. I would have been happy as long as he left the White Sox, because I think the Cooper Cutter killed him.
The Cooper Cutter killed
Samardzija, and now he will be resurrected. I couldn't have asked for a better place for him to be resurrected. I mean, the best stint of his career was with Oakland, and San Francisco's park is as comparable, I think, as you're going to find, so that helps.
Oh, no. There's one place that would have been better, and that's John Neese's new home. Anyone that goes to Pittsburgh gets the Fountain of Youth.
You know, Neese doesn't really fit the mold of the guys that...
Did J-Hap, Al, I guess did J-Hap fit the mold?
No.
No? Okay. Point taken.
All right, well, anyway...
One of the rumors was that they were going to get Hector Santiago, your favorite pitcher.
Ooh.
And I thought, okay. Man,
I would have taken him in the third round.
Mold.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see what he can do with Jonathan. He said, you know, that's getting to be a crowded rotation, too. Because there's Tyler Glass now, who I think we'll see at some point this year. There's the Perpetual Reclamation Project, Alan Webster in the mix there. And they're in on somebody else, and I'm trying to remember who it is. Scott, can you remember?
I'm not sure. Sorry.
So, but there's potentially another pitcher in that mix, and hopefully before the end of the podcast, I'll remember who it is.
The Dodgers signed Hisashi Iwakuma to a 3-year, $45 million contract. Value up, down, or the same for Iwakuma?
Yeah, basically the same, I think.
You like him? Like, Iwakuma, is it even a question? No, I'm sure it isn't. But I was going to say Iwakuma or Shelby Miller. And I'm sure Miller will go close, will go earlier. But I mean, would you be surprised if Iwakuma had a better season than Shelby Miller?
Not at all. I have him ranked ahead of Miller. So
really?
And by a lot.
Whoa.
I
really?
Have him ranked ahead of Miller also.
Okay.
Actually, I'm lying. I have him ranked two spots behind Miller. But
how could you?
Yeah. You know, the thing is, I do think the odds are probably better of Iwakuma out having the better season. But
so Scott,
I'm just building in some breakout potential there for Miller by ranking him two spots ahead.
What but, when you talk about ranking him two spots ahead, what where are we talking about in your rankings?
34 for Miller, 36 for Iwakuma.
Okay.
With Francisco Liriano in between.
Is John Lackey a fantasy loser going to the Cubs on a 2-year, $32 million deal?
Oh, I think he is. I mean, he'll probably get gobs of run support, but he really, really thrived at Busch Stadium, and his stats away from there while he was a Cardinal were pretty ordinary. And I expect them to be pretty much the same now that he's with the Cubs.
Okay, better late-round pick, John Lackey or Vince Velasquez?
I don't think Lackey's going to last to the late rounds.
But
so
yeah.
He might be disqualified.
But if he's,
I would take him first.
Yeah, I would too, just because it's not a gimme that Velasquez is going to start for the Phillies. And I do worry a bit about him. I know I'm talking a lot about park factors here, but I do worry about him in that ballpark in Philly. He's a very extreme fly ball pitcher, Velasquez.
Same situation at Houston, right?
I think Philly's worse.
Well, he didn't exactly pitch great in Houston.
He was
Yeah, I mean, he barely debuted.
He didn't do much.
It's more about the upside than anything else.
You know, I mean, Lackey, he's going to give you, you know, pretty much middle of the road strikeout and walk numbers. Mm-hmm. I think he will get a lot of run support. It's a late rounder. I think he's fine. He probably will go earlier than that, which I don't think he should.
I have him 47th, so I think it just depends if people follow my rankings or not, I guess.
If you follow Scott's rankings, you'll take a road. Follow mine, he'll be there in the late rounds. And I would rather have him than Velasquez in the late rounds.
Okay, let's talk about some second baseman here. The Cubs signed Ben Zobrist to a 4-year, $56 million deal with a no-trade clause. He's old. And Starlin Castro going to the Yankees for Adam Warren and Brendan Ryan.
Really like that for the Yankees a lot. It's a risk, and Castro's been incredibly inconsistent, but he finished very hot.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think he's an upgrade nonetheless, and could be a huge upgrade if he carries over what he did the last month and a half or so.
Yeah, I think this might actually he might actually replace Dilson Herrera in my sleepers column, more so because of Herrera not having a chance anymore, but I think Castro's for sure has an everyday job now when with the Cubs and all the Javier Baez's and everybody else. It seemed like there was a scenario where he could just get pushed out. So, I don't know. I kind of get the feeling too. And I guess this is just kind of a gut feeling. I feel like he's really going to like playing in New York. And I feel like he has a similar type of bat. I want to word this carefully because I think if Derek Jeter just showed up at the age Castro is now, having accomplished nothing in his career, the two would profile as similar players.
I don't know what that means.
Well, you don't. Let's say
do
Derek Jeter just dropped out of the sky one day at whatever age Castro is now, 26, something like that.
26 in March.
And scouts were getting a look at him for the first time.
Okay.
They'd say, huh, this guy reminds me of Starlin Castro. That's kind of what I'm getting at.
Okay. Well, but you're forgetting that Jeter has probably like much hotter girlfriends. You know, like you can't overlook that. And wow, Hannah Davis, by the way, nice work.
Yeah.
playing second base.
Who do you think? You think Yunel Escobar is a winner or a loser going to the Angels? Because this is breaking news.
Oh, it happened?
It happened.
So it happened while we were on the air?
Yeah.
Ah.
As reported by John Heyman.
Oh. You tell me.
You know who's a winner? Trey Turner's a winner.
Oh, yeah.
Now he's the one who's going to replace Dilson Herrera. Because that, I mean, for a while there, it looked like he might get squeezed out of winning the national shortstop job because they were talking about acquiring someone else and then moving Escobar to shortstop. Clearly not going to happen now. Trey Turner's in, and if Derek Jeter just fell out of the sky at age 23 or whatever Trey Turner is. And by that,
he
should hit for average with decent pop and good stolen base potential. Isn't that roughly what Derek Jeter was just over a long period of time, very consistently on a major stage?
Yep. Yeah. But also just an all around great American.
Yeah, it's
borderline
can't,
heroic.
Can't replace that, yeah.
Castro, when they moved him to second base last year, he hit .339 with a .358 on base. He doesn't walk. And a .583 slugging percentage, 5 home runs in 115 at-bats. 3 walks in 115 at-bats. So probably not sustainable, but he played much, much better as a second baseman, which is where he will be playing for the Yankees.
You know, it never even really occurred to me it was related to that. Maybe there was more comfort there at second base. I just viewed it as that he got hot when he stopped playing every day. And I think my little narrative that I cooked up in my own head was that, you know, he got very motivated and fixed some things. And then, you know, through the limited playing time that he had as he was hitting better, got himself back in the lineup at second base. So I think the improvements started really even before he settled in as a regular at second base. Chicken or egg kind of thing.
Okay, well, we'll see with Starlin Castro. How about Ben Zobrist, who, you know, top 12 second baseman. He doesn't really light it up in any regard, but he's been in pitcher's parks for a while. Is this better for him? Is Zobrist gaining any value here with this move to the Cubs?
Yeah, I think he absolutely is. You mentioned the parks. I think it can't hurt, but I think just the fact that he's going to be with the team, that's going to give him a lot more run producing opportunities, I would assume, from either the first or second spot in the order. So I imagine he will score lots and lots of runs as a Cub. And, you know, everybody talks about the age, and eventually I think, you know, we'll see the impact of that. But I already thought he was on the irreversible slope of decline. And last year he had a nice bounce back season. So I think he can hang out at this level for a year or two and go into that lineup, maybe even take a little step up.
So rank these three players then. Ben Zobrist, Neil Walker, who's now a Met, and Starlin Castro.
You did it for me.
I'll agree. I had to think a bit about whether or not to put Castro over Walker because I think maybe there's more upside there, but he's very unproven. So I'll go with yours and Scott's rankings.
Okay, our next section here. Still pretty big news. We talked about Neil Walker. Wilmer Flores, Mets shortstop, broke his ankle, and they signed Asdrubal Cabrera to a 2-year, $18.5 million deal. So is it Cabrera at short and Walker at second for the Mets?
It is. And Flores would appear as a utility guy, you know, or maybe somebody who's traded.
What do you think about Asdrubal Cabrera, the New York Mets?
I just like Asdrubal Cabrera wherever you put him, pretty much, because for the last 4 months of the season, he was terrific. Hit over .300. I think probably the most power of his career, which is not really nothing, because early in his career, he was a good power hitting shortstop.
2011 and 2012, 25 homers, 16 homers. He was, you know, fantasy mainstay back then. And he's still only, he just turned 30, so it was kind of weird that he disappeared, even more so than the resurgence here, I feel like.
And so, I think, enough about him. I think Ryan Madsen to Oakland is significant, because they gave him a 3-year, $22 million deal, and I just don't really trust Sean Doolittle. Maybe he'll be better, you know, further removed from his injury, but he was not good when he came back, and I don't know. Madsen was very good last year, so still the playoffs. I think closer potential here, guys. What do you think?
I'll agree, potential, and I think that his situation and also just how he performed last year puts him very close to the top of non-closing relievers in leagues where you're going to be targeting those guys after the actual closers are off the board.
Cool. Well, I'm glad we're in agreement. Medium-sized news. Oakland acquired Yonder Alonso and Mark Zepchinski from the San Diego Padres for Drew Pomeranz, pitcher Jose Torres, and a player to be named later, or cash. That player may have been named by now. But anyway, do you have any thoughts on this trade? Everybody, Scott, you've always liked Drew Pomeranz. Now he's on the Padres.
He is on the Padres, and that at least gives him some hope of maybe starting again, because I think the Athletics, that ship had sailed for them. And if he were to get that chance, you know how I said Vincent Velasquez would be far and away the best SPARP?
I did.
With a rotation spot, I think Pomeranz would be ahead of even him. So it's something to keep an eye on. I haven't seen anything that would clearly indicate he will start, but there's a chance.
Now, I'll give you another SPARP out there, and you tell me, I don't know what his role is going to be, but is Adam Warren going to have a chance to crack the Cubs rotation?
I don't think he has a much better chance there than he had with the Yankees. But sure, I mean, he could be just one injury away. Not his injury, of course, but let's say Jason Hamill.
Right.
Not at all unthinkable. Hamill gets hurt. Then I think Warren probably is the go-to guy there, although they also have Trevor Cahill, who they're going to stretch out in spring training.
Yeah, no way. He sucks.
It was great the end of last year.
Yeah,
but,
whatever.
So I think probably pretty equal value, not a big value change for Warren. But, you know, if that opportunity is there for him, then he also becomes one of the more valuable SPARPs on draft day.
The White Sox got Brett Laurie. We mentioned that. The Seattle Mariners got Adam Lind from Milwaukee for 3 minor league pitchers. Is that significant at all, guys?
I think he'll probably do a little better in Seattle than in Milwaukee, just because I think it's a better lineup. And the good news is that over his career, I mean, he's played in really good hitters' parks, but he hasn't had a split differential, a notable one, between his home and away splits. So going to Safeco, I don't worry too much about that with Adam Lind.
Boston got Roenis Elias and Carson Smith, as we mentioned. Seattle got Wade Miley and Jonathan Arrow. But any interest in Wade Miley, guys? Now a much better park for him.
I moved him up slightly, but we're talking low-end AL only to less low-end AL only, you know?
Okay, well, the Cardinals traded away John Jay. The Padres get a high-character individual, the nicest player in baseball, and someone that's going to really hold their locker room together. This was a great trade for the Padres, and Jed Jerko goes to St. Louis. So why would they take on Jed Jerko and the $33 million he's owed, although it'll be $7.5 million less because they got that in cash?
This might be, if this was a category at the top of the podcast, this might be biggest head-scratcher of the winter meetings for me, because...
More than the Braves-Diamondbacks trade.
Well, I understand what both of those sides were doing. I just think one side didn't do it very well. I have no idea what St. Louis wants in this deal. And some people, you know, I expressed that on Twitter, and some people replied, duh, they're wanting to platoon Colton Wong, which would be disappointing for both Colton Wong's value and Jed Jerko's, because, hey, Jed Jerko, last few months of last season, looked like he was showing some of that 25 homer potential we once thought he had too. So as a shortstop eligible player, I'd like him to get every day at bats. Wong, I think, has a ton of upside, so I'd like that for him too. I wonder if it means, and there was some speculation about this on Twitter at the time, that Wong could potentially be on the move for a deal for a starting pitcher, or maybe Johnny Peralta gets traded and Jed Jerko takes over at shortstop. It opens the door to a lot of possibilities for the Cardinals. It just seems like the amount of money owed Jed Jerko is too much for the lesser half of an infield platoon. Now, it could be a great value if he's an everyday player and develops into all he's supposed to be, but the Cardinals need to make that a possibility for him to capitalize on it.
And the Kansas City Royals re-signed Chris Young to a 2-year deal worth $11.75 million.
Cy Young.
There you go. Chris Young, the pitcher. Chris Young, the hitter, is on Boston. I know Chris Young's on Boston, but I forgot Craig Kimbrell's on Boston. That's weird.
Hashtag priorities.
Small news now. I will read small news headlines and you tell me if they are important. Baltimore signed Darren O'Day, 4 years, $31 million.
Means he won't close anywhere, but status quo from last year.
Kansas City, this one was weird to me. Kansas City signed Joaquin Soria, 3 years, $25
million. Didn't seem weird at all to me because they need to replace Greg Holland as just, you know, part of the 7th, 8th, 9th trifecta. It doesn't affect Wade Davis at all, which is a good thing, but, you know, reinforces that situation. But I don't think there's any real fantasy value there unless he does get converted to being a starter, which that doesn't fit that reinforce the bullpen narrative. I don't think he will. But that would, you know, that would actually give him a little more intrigue.
An interesting spark right there.
For sure.
He might overtake all of them.
Soria was better than I realized last year. So, you know, that's my B. He had a 2.53 ERA with Detroit and Pittsburgh. Not bad. Colorado signed Matt Reynolds to a 1-year deal.
That's Mark, right?
Mark Reynolds. Okay. Sorry. Atlanta acquired Jose Ramirez, a pitcher from Seattle, for a player to be named later.
Okay. Yeah, not much in either case, but, you know, Reynolds will do what he's done the last couple years and fill a platoon role, and in Colorado maybe even has a shot at 20 home runs in that role.
That's a FanDuel guy for you.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's see. We got Detroit signing Mike Pelfrey to a 2-year, $8 million deal. Good luck with that. And the Yankees got two pitchers from Detroit for Justin Wilson, a reliever. They got Luis Sessa and Chad Green for some depth.
All right, then.
Quite a week and a half, huh?
A lot has changed. I think last time we were on, we were complaining about how the hot stove was still warming up.
Oh, it's so hot.
It's burnt a hole in the floor now.
It's gone down
to the Earth's core.
Are you guys looking forward to Zoolander 2?
Can't say I had.
No.
I had spent a second thought on it.
Okay, well, nope. I just, you know, you
Till
reminded
now,
me
the second,
of...
The second thought is coming in now. Let me think about that a little.
You reminded me of Hansel. He's so hot right now when we were talking about the hot stove, so got my mind on Zoolander 2.
It wasn't because Zoolander 2 was on my mind.
Yeah, maybe it should have been.
You know, I think Zoolander, the original Zoolander, was one of those movies
that's awesome
that really skirted the line of being too dumb to enjoy. So I just worry that the second one's going to cross that line since the first one skirted it. I love the first one.
I don't agree with that at all. I think it was like so dumb that it was smart.
Well, yeah, but that's a tricky balance to find. It's almost accidental when you find it.
And I mean, I think the success rate for pulling that off in a sequel is like less than 1%.
Yeah, I know. I'm concerned about the sequel. I do think the Will Ferrell, Mark Wahlberg movie looks pretty funny though, where he's the stepdad.
Yeah, I just feel like, didn't they do another movie together?
Oh, The Other Guys. I loved it.
You loved it?
Loved The Other Guys.
I gotta say, Samuel L. Jackson is the king of the out of nowhere death scene.
Yeah.
And, he had one there, and then of course Deep Blue Sea is probably the number one of all time.
Yeah, that's a good call. Good call.
Yeah.
You wanna read some emails? Here we go. This one's from James at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. JD Martinez in the 7th round or David Price in the 3rd round? This is a 16-team league, and he's already keeping Kershaw and Arenado. So JD Martinez in the 7th or David Price in the 3rd?
I'll go JDM. They have slightly better value.
Do we have emails to read, Adam, or are you just reading them and we're supposed to listen?
Yeah, no, I didn't send them to. I apologize.
Ah, killing me. I wasn't listening. I'm sorry. I was looking for where I could.
That one was so easy. I
know,
easy
but
one.
I wasn't. I can't multitask like that. Are you kidding me?
Hey, I even deleted some emails while he was reading that off.
Oh, well, good for you.
Okay, this one's from Michael in Philadelphia. Pay attention.
Christian Bale impersonation.
Pay attention to Michael in Philadelphia. He says, "Dear Morgan, Munnerlin, and Jeter."
The captains.
Those are captains. That's right. I have my four keepers in a 12-team, 6x6 categories league. I had them set until your last podcast. The discussion of grabbing an additional ace and first base being shallow has me second-guessing. So Michael is keeping Matt Harvey and Jose Fernandez in the 21st and 13th rounds, respectively. I was leaning Jose Abreu in the 8th and Donaldson in the 3rd. But should I keep DeGrom in the 6th instead, or Harper in the 1st?
So yeah, you've raised the degree of difficulty here. We've got to juggle 6 different players in their rounds.
You want me to simplify it for you?
Please.
All right, so he's planning on keeping Matt Harvey and Jose Fernandez at very good values. Now, he's worried about first base and starting pitching depth. So he's got Jose Abreu in the 8th, Jacob DeGrom in the 6th, Josh Donaldson in the 3rd, and Bryce Harper in the 1st, and I guess he wants 2 of them.
I would just go with the 2 best guys there. I think Abreu is probably going to give you the best value, I suppose, per draft round. But you're not going to get Harper if you don't keep him, and you're not going to get Donaldson either. So,
yeah, I agree. Abreu would be my 3rd choice over DeGrom for what it's worth, but I agree.
All right, next email is from, no name here? Austin, a transplanted New Yorker living in the Netherlands. And he says, "Dear Didi, Bert, and Robert."
Well, I don't know the answer. I have no idea.
I'd even hear the middle one. So
Bert. Didi, Bert, and Robert.
Didi Gregorius, Bert Blylevin, and Robert Eanhorn?
Something Dutch.
Yeah, they're all from the Netherlands.
Oh, well, yeah.
Okay.
So there you go.
Spoon fed us that one. Okay. Yeah.
All right, so Scott, your thoughts on starting pitching and grabbing 2 aces, we've gotten like 4 or 5 emails that are people, I'm rethinking my strategy since the last podcast. So here you go. 12-team.
Once they hear me compare Derek Jeter to those nobodies, they're going to disregard everything I say. So should have just waited till next podcast and... Not
and
done.
We wouldn't have, these emails would have been just disregard. All right, 12-team roto league. So Austin is keeping. He can keep 3, and he's going to keep Harper in the 3rd and Syndergaard in the 28th. So pick one more for him. Kershaw round 1, Liriano round 13, Carlos Rodon in the 18th round.
And we have to pick 1 from those?
Yeah,
Kershaw.
Yeah, Kershaw.
Or
you don't give up a 3rd round Harper. Come on.
Or he can go with like Joey Votto in the 4th round. Adam Eaton, Michael Conforto, Jackie Bradley, Rusne Castillo, Michael Franco, Marcelo Zuna, all in the 18th round.
Nope. I am going with what I initially said: Kershaw along with Harper and Syndergaard. I think, you know, this is probably a good line to draw. Among the obvious first rounders, whether or not they're worth keeping with a first round pick, I think Kershaw's where I draw the line. To me, there's a standout 4 of Harper, Trout, Goldschmidt, and Kershaw. And then I'm not sure I'd keep any other clear first rounder with a first round pick, because I don't think they separate themselves enough from what you might get in the early half of the 2nd round, if your first round pick isn't high enough to get the guy who you threw back, if you get what I'm saying.
Sure.
You don't get what I'm saying, do you?
No, I was reading listening. Another email, so I wasn't paying attention. How does it feel?
I get it. I hear you. I hear you.
Okay, last email here, and we'll read more on our next show. I thought we'd read a lot today, but you know, so much going on. I don't think next week will be as busy of a show. But this is from No Name in PDX. I don't know where that is.
PDA?
PDX.
PDX, oh.
Dear Tino, Jason, and Mark?
Those would be...
Yankees first baseman. Yeah.
They right? would be. They would. I won my league, and now I need to pick five keepers in a 10-team 5x5 roto league, and you can keep everybody up to 3 years. So get your pens and papers ready. I got 9 names for you. You got to keep 5. Miguel Cabrera with 1 year left. Carlos Gonzalez, 1 year left. Jose Abreu, Corey Kluber, David Price, 2 years left. Arenado, D. Gordon, Mookie Betts, J.D. Martinez all have 3 years left. So I can read that again if you'd like.
Go ahead and read it again.
All right, for the listeners out there. Miguel Cabrera and Carlos Gonzalez with 1 year left. Jose Abreu, Corey Kluber, and David Price with 2 years left. Arenado, D. Gordon, Betts, and J.D. Martinez with 3 years left.
I'm keeping all the three-year guys and David Price.
Over Kluber?
Yep.
All right, so that's 5. Then.
That's it?
Right, 5 we
yep.
can keep. Let's see. I'm with you, Scott. It's a tough call between Price and Kluber, but that's what I'm doing.
Sweet. Fellas, thank you. Good stuff.
Thank you. Thank you for sending us those emails.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you for the nice brain exercise here.
Yeah.
Late in the afternoon when our brains are already fried.
You guys are troopers. This was a good show. It hopefully helps everybody out, putting some fantasy values in perspective after all these trades and all these signings. So thank you all for listening. What?
Huh? In a whirlwind.
Yeah? Yeah, it was a whirlwind.
Whirlwind.
And that's it. I'm not going to forget where Craig Kimbrell's playing next year ever again. You have my word.